All right, here we go. Welcome to this edition of the Showcasing College Baseball Podcast, powered by College Recruit Prep. I'm your host, Ross Holly, and I want to thank you for spending some time with us, wherever you might be watching or listening from. If this is your first time with us, welcome. Go give us a follow on our Facebook group page at Showcasing College Baseball, or visit us on the World Wide Web at collegerecruitprep.com. Today's episode is brought to you by our Militech, pioneers in sports communication technology. Imagine a world where every play call is crystal clear, secure, and executed with precision. That's the world our Militech has created. Trusted by top coaches across North America, our Militech's innovative electronic play calling system is transforming how football, baseball, and softball games are being played, one play at a time. Visit ourmilitech.com for more information. Now, on to today's episode and guest. I'd like to formally introduce you to Jensen Elliott. Jensen played his college ball at Oklahoma State and was drafted by the Baltimore Orioles in 2019. He's 6'6", 230 pounds. He's 92 to 95 from the right side with power sink. For those of you that have no idea what the heck that is, imagine trying to hit a bowling ball with a toothpick. That's what it's like trying to hit this dude. Jensen is currently in spring training with the Orioles and will most likely break camp with the AAA club. He is what it looks like. He's a dude, and he's one phone call away from achieving the goal every baseball player sets out to achieve. Here's my conversation with Jensen Elliott of the Baltimore Orioles. All right. Jensen Elliott, welcome to the Showcase in College Baseball Podcast, my friend. Hey, we were talking offline a little bit, and I talked to you the other day. I just want to say this. It's so good to see you. And I know for anybody are listening to this, you can catch us on YouTube. You can see the video clips on our social media, but it's so good seeing you. I haven't seen you in forever, man, and catching up with you and your brother. I just want to welcome you to the show, and I'm excited to be talking to you today, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's a privilege to be here, and I'm excited to talk about some things.
Heck yeah, heck yeah. So, hey, for our audience, the Showcase and College Baseball audience, everybody wants to be in the position you're in, okay? And guys, a little bit about Jensen Elliott. I met him when he was 15, okay? And he has an older brother too, so Jake Elliott, who's an absolute stud as well. But I met this dude when you were already 6'4", 6'5", and we were talking kind of the other night, and I'm like, when he was 15, as a coach, when I got the opportunity to coach you, when I first saw Jake, I was like, this is what it looks like. This is what the next level looks like. And then I saw this stuff and I'm like, oh, I was so excited to watch you just grow and grow and grow. So for those listening, this is the Jensen, you're living what every kid wants to do. So I want to lead with this question. What's it like getting drafted by the Orioles, and what's it like playing professional baseball?
You know, it is truly an honor, because, I mean, over the years, you start to see how many people truly get this opportunity. And obviously, it's a blessing. Me and my family are big in faith. So, I mean, just thankful for God that he enabled us to be healthy enough to play. So basically, going back 2019, I got drafted to the Orioles out of college. I went to Oklahoma State. And that day was just kind of surreal, because we were actually getting ready for a super regional. And our head coach was like, hey, we know it's like the draft's going on, so like, we're going to allow you guys to have your phones in the outfield for BP. Wow. And so I actually got a call from my agent in the outfield, and he was like, hey, the Orioles are about to take you in the 19th round. Ended up happening. And just that moment, my heart like skipped a beat for a second, because wow, it's something I've always dreamed of, is playing professional baseball. Obviously, like you mentioned, my brother, I kind of got the privilege to follow in his footsteps, because he actually was drafted in 2016 by the Chicago White Sox. So I kind of knew what it was like, but just being able to experience myself, like, I always wanted to be a professional baseball player, and I'm still going strong now. Hopefully the ultimate, you know, goal is to make it to the major leagues, and hopefully that's something that happens in the future.
Yeah, man. For reference, guys, to the audience, again, talking with Jensen Elliott of the Baltimore Orioles here today. Jensen finished last year in AA. He's down in Sarasota for spring training right now. Most likely probably going to be break camp as a AAA guy. But I want Jensen, I don't want you to undersell yourself because I want to say this. I know this. Like, I know I'm confident in this. You're going to be in the big leagues, and I think it's probably going to happen this year. So, and I know you're not going to get ahead of yourself, but what is it that you possess? 92 to 95 with some sink. Guys, he's 6'6", big dude, sink, not a comfortable at bat. What are your prospects looking like for the year? What do you think, and what are they telling you? Where do you think you're going to break camp with, this year?
The ultimate goal. So I actually ended last year on the IL for a little bit. So, I mean, that was a tough ending to the season, but I'm back to health now. I've been throwing some lives down here. I've been 92, 95. Yeah, obviously my sinker is my bread and butter. I've thrown that, I guess. I've always naturally had, like, movement, like sinker movement, but I didn't truly get a sinker until, I guess, my freshman year of college when I worked with Rob Alton. Yes. And that's definitely my best pitch. And then I have a changeup to go on top of that because I just, everything I throw kind of runs. Yeah. I have a cutter, a slider, and a changeup. I have a cutter and a slider. And I also throw a four seam fastball. But so hopefully break with AAA. They enjoy my sinker in this organization. So I just got to keep throwing that and hopefully just keep having success.
Curious to know, just because I'm visualizing it, as you say, sinker, how do you grip that? Is that on top of the seams? Is it cross seams? How are you gripping that?
Well, I actually throw, like, I guess my hand naturally is like sideways like this.
Okay.
And I just surround the seam with this. So I actually throw a one seamer.
Oh my goodness.
And then the seam shift and all that stuff moves my ball. So.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Hey, you touched on it. And I know this, cause Rob Walton is one of the best coaches in all of baseball. And there's no question about that. One of the best pitching coaches in all of baseball. Talk to me about Oklahoma State. Like, to me, if I'm a young guy and I'm coming up right now and I look at that stadium and I look at the coaching staff and I just look at, hey, I love the uniforms, all orange uniforms, but talk to me what it meant to you and to your career to play at Oklahoma State and play for Holiday and Rob Walton.
I think it's fair going back. I truly didn't know, like, about anything about the history of Oklahoma State, or, like, I didn't know much about the coaches. But right before I went on a recruiting trip with them, my mom actually had done some research on them and was explaining to me how good this pitching coach Rob Walton was supposed to be. And obviously, I mean, we always saw the top 25 rankings, and we always saw that Oklahoma State would always, like, flirt around, like, the 20-25 spot before I ever got there. But yeah, then once I got to school there, I mean, I couldn't have had a better 4 years. I mean, between Josh and Rob, it's just, you gain so much knowledge. I went in as just, you know, a very 6'6", skinny. I mean, I was athletic, but I didn't really know much, you know, obviously. But they, not only on the field, they matured me off the field. You know, I found some of my best friends there. But working with Rob, I can't say enough good things about him. I mean, if you're having a tough day, he's there to, you know, comfort you, talk to you. He's basically like a father away from your true home. And he taught me a lot of baseball knowledge. He taught me he told me about his life story and all his stuff he went through. And it's really cool to see somebody who's had so much success in their career of baseball just kind of, like, take you in under their wing. And I mean, from the beginning, he believed in me. And I think that was the biggest key, is I always wanted to play for somebody that truly believed in me. And I felt like now to this day, I'll still go back to Oklahoma State and I can talk to Josh and Rob. They have pictures of us and our time there up on the walls. And awesome. I think that's the biggest key, is I went there before the stadium and I didn't need any of that. Like, all I cared about those relationship with the coaches and how, like, the player, the atmosphere was in, like, the locker room. And I would not change a thing about my time there.
Gosh, that is so cool. And it's so important, you know, to the audience listening. I it's so important to be recruiting baseball. The older I get, the more removed I get away from, you know, my playing and coaching, I realize how important the relationships are. And in recruiting and being somewhere where you trust, you know, the coaches, and you trust that they have your best interest. Is that something that you kind of understood immediately? Like, when you're going through that process of recruiting, Were you keen? Were you aware of that? Hey, I want somebody that's going to be, you know, like you said, supportive, that I can trust. What were you looking for in the recruiting process?
Honestly, going back to recruiting, like my brother obviously got all these. I mean, I think the first day he ever could get contacted by coaches, I think 28 schools called him. with Jake, I learned pretty early on, like, you know, the true coaches that are going to stand out with how they approach the recruiting things. Like, do they care about how quickly you recruit? Do they actually care about you as a human being? So whenever I got to mine, I basically went more for, yeah, I mean, obviously the schools are great. Like the name on the jersey is great. But for me personally, I actually had 3 visits set up, but I only ended up going to Oklahoma State.
And wow,
I remember getting in the car. Actually, that first night, I talked to my mom and my dad that were there with me, and I said, I want to commit. And they're like, no, slow down.
Yeah,
and then they're like, sleep on it. Let's see what happens. And then the next morning, we woke up, had another great day, and I remember we were on our way back from Stillwater down to Dallas, and I remember my mom goes, all right, so let's name the positives, let's name the negatives. We went through this whole list of positives. It was anything from how great the coaches were, how great the players were with me over the weekend, you know, how, you know, the academics were important. They had a nice academic center there, and the academic advisor that worked with the baseball team was awesome. And she seemed interested and actually wanted us to graduate on time and that, all that stuff. And then I just remember we were like, okay, the negatives. And my mom, dad, and I just stared at each other. We were like, we literally couldn't come up with anything else.
That's awesome.
So I ended up committing. I think it was either that day or the day after I committed to Oklahoma State, and I had to call the other schools to tell them I had committed.
So I got to know, because that's heartbreaking. I'm thinking as a college coach, I'm like, this is a guy we need to get into our program. Who were the other schools that whose hearts you had to break?
It was TCU in Arkansas. So it was Kirk Sarlous was the one I was talking to at TCU at the time, and now he's their head coach. He was the pitching coach at the time. And then I had Tony Vitello was the Arkansas. And I remember I was so scared to have to call them and tell them I'd committed. My mom's like, you know what, you're going to do this process right. And yes. I mean, they understood. So, but yeah, it was, the whole recruiting process was interesting.
Yeah, man, that's so cool. Talking with Jensen Elliott of the Baltimore Orioles guys today. I'm curious, just, I want to get back to pro ball a little bit, and we're bouncing around here, but I want to get back to pro ball, because the folks listening to this, I want you to give some insight into what this life is all about, man. So I'm curious, what's a day in the life of a minor leaguer, of a professional baseball player? What is that in season? What does that look like for you?
It's definitely, I guess, some might consider a grind. I think we have every Monday off, so it's Tuesday to Sunday games. But it's Tuesday to Saturday are usually night games. But what we do is we basically will travel either Sunday or Monday, depending on how far away the road trip is. It's lots of bus drives, but we'll get to a place. Let's just say we get there on a Monday. We'll just have like that evening to go grab dinner or something. And then we'll wake up Tuesday. Sometimes there's a gym bus early in the morning if you want to go to that. Obviously, as a relief pitcher, you kind of try to choose your days you can lift, because you obviously want to stay strong during the whole season, maintain what you've done, all the work you've put in the off season. But then you'll basically go to breakfast, you know, somewhere around the hotel, and then you'll get to the field. I usually like to get to the field around 12:30, 1-ish, wow, like a 6 o'clock game. Just because I feel like whenever I'm at the field, I'm locked in, you know, I'm around my teammates, I'm enjoying our time together, the relationships, and then we'll just kind of go do the whole BP shagging, throwing, all that stuff. And then the games, it's usually at 6:30, 7, and we'll have a game, try to have a post-game meal, try to calm down from the day, and do it all over again the next day.
Yeah.
Every now and then we'll have like a day game, and those you just kind of have to trick your body to go to bed a little bit earlier than normal, because you might have 11 o'clock kids day.
Ooh.
But I think the key is you really got to get into a rhythm. You have to devote, I guess, the time out of your day to like you have your whole body and mind ready for games, and that's just what I do, at least.
Because I mean, man, you've had such amazing baseball experiences so far. So I'm curious to know, like, the adjustment from high school to Oklahoma State, Oklahoma State to the Orioles organization. What were the adjustments you needed to make? Like, what was it? Time management? What adjustments did you make from place to place?
I guess high school, like, looking back on it, I feel like it was just, I was just having fun playing baseball and kind of going to school on the side. And it wasn't like, school wasn't difficult in high school by any means. You know, I'd go to class every day and get my stuff done. But then all you're looking forward to in, you know, high school is, oh, seventh period, I got to go play baseball. I got to go train, get ready for those Tuesday, Friday games. And then I guess you get to college, there's so many distractions around you. I mean, it's there. I mean, you know, there's stuff going on at your dorms every night. There's, I think the biggest jump from high school to college is you basically have to, like, I guess the best way to put it is since there are so many distractions, you have to, you know, be able to say no. And I think that's what I learned pretty early on. Wow. Is like, you know what, if your friends want to, you know, go do something, you don't have to go do it. You know, if you need to prioritize your schoolwork, you need to prioritize, you know, getting everything done you need to, so that whenever the weekend comes and you have a 3-game series, you're focused on that. You're not focused on, you know, I need to turn in this assignment by 7 p.m. Sunday night. So then once that all happened, I think college is where it really matures you. And then you get to pro ball and you're so used to a schedule, even though that schedule is only 4 games a week, It gets you ready for pro ball, where, you know, it's going to about to be start being 6 days a week, but then you don't have to worry about school. So it's, I think for me personally, the best thing I ever did was choose to go to college, because that was, it matures you whether you want it to or not. And then after that, pro ball, the day to day is pretty easy.
Man, that's really good stuff. And what I'll say is, I feel like you've always been a mature guy, and I think it's so important for young guys listening to this to understand how important your decision-making and your habits are early on in life. Because, man, you said, Jensen, I understand what the distractions look like in the game of baseball, and it is a commitment, almost like a commitment to yourself and your passion and your motivation and your drive. Is that safe to say for you, is like, hey, this is my shot. This is, I've worked for this. I'm going to make sure that I prioritize this over everything else.
Yeah, that's 100%. That's right on the head. Like whenever I want to look back at my baseball career, I don't want to be able to say, You know, what if I would have prioritized this over this, or I from the beginning, since I basically committed, because I really didn't know how good I was before I committed. But then since the day that I committed, I basically said, you know what, I want to be a big leaguer. You got to set your goals. You got to set your goals even higher than what you ever expect them to be. Because if you reach a goal, then what's the point, you know? So After that, I think the thing that people kind of miss out on is, like, I think it's kind of becoming a world where everybody's, just, it's easier to be a follower.
Yes.
And I think that the key that I've learned over the years is, you know, some parts of your life, you got to be a leader, and you got to be able to look somebody in the face and say, you know what, I'm not going to do that tonight. I'm going to go to bed early so I can wake up tomorrow and get after it, you know, in the weight room or something little like that, You know, might have not at the time, you know, show up like, oh, I got that much better. But in the long train, you know, it's going to be like, oh, wow. Like, if you do all the right things at the right time, I feel like just the game and your life will reward you.
Man, that's awesome. It's almost like you create your own opportunities by the discipline of your habits. Exactly. Talking with Jensen Elliott here, guys, on the Showcase in College Baseball podcast. Jensen, I'm interested, man. We talked a little bit the other day, and I'm the game since I played and really was involved in it. It's like I was talking to you and I was talking to Jake and I felt like an idiot. I was like, dude, it's evolved so much with analytics and metrics and all that stuff. is it fun? Like, are you having fun with the evolution of the game? Because you're a really bright guy. You're intelligent. Is that part of how the game has evolved with the metrics and stuff? Does that make it more fun for you? Is it more business? Talk to me a little bit about how the game has evolved and what that means for you.
Yeah. So when I was, I guess, towards the back end of my college career, analytics started to take off. I mean, you started hearing people say this new term, like induced vertical break. And like these guys technically have like rising fastballs. And like at the time I was like, oh, well, that's cool. Like, I don't really know what I have. I just know my ball, you know, moves. And yeah, I mean, it's something that like you definitely have to like adjust to, because nowadays, like, I feel like every minor league team and obviously big league team you go to, they have this either a TrackMan or a Hawkeye like all over their field. And I mean, it's, if you want to avoid data, you can, you have the option to, but like they give you so much data nowadays. Like we have Edutronic cameras in our bullpens, you know, it's a super slow-mo, like high definition camera. So you can see exactly how the ball is coming off your fingers on any pitch.
Wow.
Then they have all the data over like how much your stuff moves, how like well this is. And I feel like every system and like organization is like resulting to this, which I mean, it's, I feel like it is a, like it's an advantage to know that you have, like, let's say for like a guy like me, I have a sinker and slider that I really like to throw. And I think it's just extra like credibility that they can give me that, oh wow, like, yeah, like your stuff does move like a lot. It moves, yeah, a lot. So, you know, you should keep throwing those. And I think it's just a little bit of confidence. And obviously the game is like you said, it's changed so much, and it's not, oh wow, this guy has like a 2 ERA anymore. It's like, oh wow, like this guy throws 97 with, you know, 20 inches a hop or carry.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it is interesting, and it's definitely like, I feel like just like the average like fan doesn't really like understand obviously half the data, which I mean, some of us don't even understand some of the data, but I think it's just, it's pretty cool to see now that like whenever you're watching the spring training game, you can go to the MLB app and it'll be like, oh, this guy just threw a fastball 97.3, and you can see like how much it like moves. And it's just, I think it's just like a cool part of the game now as taking over, and obviously the whole launch angle for hitters and,
yeah,
exit velocity. And it's just like a different like way to dictate how well you're doing, even if numbers like your ERA, you know, your batting average, all that stuff isn't showing that you're doing well. Well, if you're hitting the ball hard as a hitter, or if, you know, you're throwing nasty pitches and just getting hit, you know, it's like an extra way for them to be like, okay, well, this guy has the potential.
Yeah. If I'm curious, cause like, if you were coaching right now, mm-hmm, with what you know of the game and you were talking to young players, let's just talk specifically pitchers here. What would you tell young pitchers? Like, tell my son right now, he's a 9-year-old and he loves pitching, Jensen. So you have the floor to give my son, both my sons, Ryder and Kaiser, you have my permission to coach them. Tell them, what should they be focusing on as young pitchers?
As a 9-year-old?
As a 9-year-old, 10-year-old. Give me 13, 14. What? Okay. General advice for young guys.
I'd say to the younger guys, just go out there and have fun. The game's all about having fun. The day that you think that it's, you know, something more than that at such a young age, like, you're already beat.
Yeah.
So I think at that age, me personally, I don't like throwing breaking balls at an early age.
Yep.
I didn't throw a breaking ball until I was a sophomore in high school.
Heck yeah.
And
they're not going to be throwing breaking balls, trust me.
Okay. Well, so that's my advice. Is, I mean, I see a lot of videos of young kids like now on like Twitter, like, oh, this guy's throwing 80 miles an hour and he's 14 years old or 13 years old. I'm like, oh, well, I mean, is that really like what people are looking at now? Because I mean, the world has gone to all velocity based, but at that age, it's all about having fun, you know, go out there, you know, throw some strikes, and eventually you're going to get to the age where you got to start worrying about, you know, how hard you're throwing and all that stuff. But even for me personally, I got recruited whenever I I think my hardest fastball I threw that year was 86 miles an hour.
Wow.
And that's when I committed. And wow. So I didn't have the, you know, the story of throwing 92 at the age of 16. I didn't do any of that. I could pitch. And I think that's the key that Rob Walton even tells me to this day, is the reason he likes me so much and liked me out of high school was because I could pitch with three different pitches.
Mm.
And then he's like, you know what, we know we're going to get velocity from you with time.
Yeah. Yeah. So summarizing, I mean, having fun and throwing stinking strikes, right? Isn't that kind of the end result? Because I feel like you can get so clouded about what you're really trying to do with all the metrics and everything. But for the young guys, it's like, man, go attack, make them hit the ball, put it in play, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Especially at a young age, just go throw strikes. You know what? Go hit as well. Like, just do everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
At that age, you just got to do everything. Have fun with the game. You know, it's supposed to be something fun, you know, even just something as little as smiling out on the field, you know.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be taken so seriously. If you have an 0-for-3 day, or, you know, you give up 5 runs and, like, you know what, it happens. It's a game of failure. So,
yeah, man, it really is. It's something that you've got to embrace. Okay. So that said, that's a good transition. Talking to Jensen Elliott right here, the Baltimore Orioles, the mental preparation is, because I like I've heard this, you know, it's baseball's 90% mental, right? And we spend 98% of the time on the physical stuff. So talk to me about what you like, how do you mentally prepare yourself? Do they train you guys? Do they bring people in to talk to you? What are you doing for the mental preparation component of the game of baseball?
Okay. So I'll actually send you back a little bit here. So I guess I never really focused much on mental side of the game. You know, I've always been a guy that growing up, I played so many sports that I felt like, you know what, I'm just going to go out and compete. And competing gets you a long way in life. But then I got to college and I had a successful freshman season. And I think the fourth weekend of my sophomore season, I blew out my arm. So I got Tommy John. And I ended up missing that rest of that whole season and the next season. And that's when I started to devote myself to the mental side of the game. Because, you know what, when you're not playing baseball for 13 months, it's, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, how good you are on the field because you're not on the field.
Wow.
So at that point, I started to, you know, I think it was more of like a mental challenge of just understanding, like, you know what, like, it's an injury, it's going to happen, or it did happen to me. You know, I just got to be able to get the barrier to get over it, you know, and know that one day I'm going to be better from it. And so that's when I first started devoting myself to the mental game is, you know what, you don't really have another option. So you got to basically I had to trick my mind into knowing that I'm going to be okay through the whole Tommy John process. You know, some days are harder than others. But yeah, now since I got to pro ball, we have mental skills coaches. They're obviously optional. Like, if you want to use them, you can, which I have actually, I use them. And, you know, it's funny because everybody thinks of mental skills and it's like, oh, well, that's kind of a negative thing. Like, if you're showing you're mentally weak, but it's not about that. Cause I've always been a mentally strong guy, I'd say. It's just, how can you even better your mind and better, you know, your position that you're in life to get better at mental skills? And I mean, that might be something as little as breathing the right way. You know, you might get into a stressful situation, which, I mean, obviously, like, you know, I played in the Connie Mack World Series where that was the first time in my life I've ever pitched in front of, I think, like 7,000 people.
Yeah.
And then I went to college pitching the College World Series.
Whew.
So that was 20,000 people. And you get in situations there, you start giving up a couple of hits, you're like, okay, well, am I going to let it tear me down, or am I going to, you know, get my mind right and get out of this?
Yeah.
And so I think that the biggest mental skill I can advice to any, you know, kids who, you know, hope to one day play professionally or college or whatever they want to, you know, do in their life is you got to be able to get to the next pitch for baseball terms. I know every coach says it, you know, 0-1, a guy calls a strike on you that you don't like, or, you know, umpire, you know, calls a ball on a pitch that you know is a strike. Are you going to let that dictate the whole at bat, or are you going to, you know, okay, well, that's fine, I'm going to throw there again and see what happens?
Yep.
And so I think the pitch to pitch is way more important than, you know, the results of the game or the results of, you know, where you, your team, like success. If everybody just focuses on one pitch at a time, the team's going to have a lot more success and ultimately your career is going to be better.
Man, that's good stuff. I really like that because it's really the only thing you control is this pitch, this moment right now, right? It's being present. That's really good. And I would, I just for everybody listening, I would encourage, you know, being the position that I'm in now, looking back, mental training should not be looked at with any sort of negative connotation. I think it personally takes someone very confident and strong to realize maybe, hey, they don't have it all figured out and they need to work on some things, you know, mentally. Because the mental piece of it is, I mean, you can have the physical piece, what the million-dollar arm, 5-cent head, you know, idea from Bull Durham. It's real, man.
I can actually add one more thing to this.
Yeah, add away. So,
Rob Walton, when I got to college, you know, talked to him, he still says to this day, one of the main reasons he loved me out of high school was because he came and watched one of my games and the umpire absolutely screwed me over a call, and I remember it because he always brought it up. He said that I struck out this guy 3 times and he didn't call any of the pitches for strikes. And he said that you could have just been walking up to the stadium and looked at me and you would have no idea what happened. But he said he's seen it in his past where, you know, a player doesn't get the call he wants and then his body language goes really bad and he's like, that's not the kind of player I want. I want the competitor. He's going to, you know, say, you know what? Call it a ball again. I'm going to throw it there. So I thought that was cool from him. And
it's body language, man. You just said it. And I hope that everybody listening to this understands. I remember this, Jensen. My dad used to always tell me growing up, and I was like, sorry, Dad, I love you. But he would say, control your emotions. And I was always like, well, what does that mean? What does that really truly mean? As I sit here now, understanding the importance of body language in all moments, in all areas of life. It's almost like if something bad happens to you, practice at being better, practice at not losing it. Talk to me a little bit about what body language at your level means. I mean, it's you got to be a pro.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I've seen guys who walk in the clubhouse and you can just, you know, see that they're down. And then next thing you know, that night they have a bad game. And you can just tell that they come to the field. You know, I've seen some hitters that have gone like 0-for-4 or 4 Ks. Mm. I've seen them show up to the next day and they're still down. And then, you know, it just results in a whole week of bad baseball.
Wow.
But I've also seen guys, you know, I'll shout out one of my teammates. His name's Connor Norby. He's one of our top 30 prospects. He's a second baseman. But he is a guy that he'll be 0-for-3 with 3 Ks. Every time he walks to the plate, you look at him, you're like, dude, this guy's about to hit a home run to win the game
for us. Wow.
And he usually does. Like, he comes up clutch all the time. But that's like, I give respect to people like that because, you know, like if you watch, obviously, MLB baseball, a guy like Clayton Kershaw is getting rocked. He's not on the mound pouting. You know, he's out there ready to throw the next pitch. But yeah, it's interesting because it's funny. You can just, you know, stand on the field and know that the other team's walking up with their chest held high. And you're like, okay, well, that's a bunch of, you know, confident men there.
Yeah.
And they're coming to beat up on us.
Yep.
Or, you know, you see guys that are just down, like, you know, maybe they lost 3 games to start the series and they're just down. And you're like, okay, well, we already beat them.
Yeah. Wow. So, wow.
I mean, yeah, like you said, body language is honestly everything. You know, you got to be confident. You got to, if you're 5'10", you got to walk around that clubhouse like you're 6'2", you know, you got to truly believe in, you know, like you're the best player on the field and all that.
Man, I love it. I love it, Jensen. Jensen, couple more questions, man. I really appreciate the time today. I know you probably got a big Friday night ahead of you. I think you said I'd say that kiddingly. You probably don't. You're probably going to go to dinner or something, but you said you're throwing live bullpen tomorrow?
Yeah, live batting practice tomorrow. So, obviously
talk to me, tell us what that means. So, tomorrow, yeah, you're going to bed tonight knowing that you're throwing a live bullpen tomorrow against hitters. What's going through your mind? What will you do tomorrow? How does that work?
Okay, so yeah, so minor league camp hasn't technically, or minor league games haven't started yet. So as we speak, it's just us, all the Orioles, you know, minor leaguers are out here. And tomorrow I'll have a live BP. So I'll get to the field in the morning, just, you know, start to warm up my body, you know, go through the whole, like, warming up my arm, warming up everything, because that's important. I just want to emphasize that your pre-throw routine is very important. You don't want to just do a couple arm circles and go throw, because you don't want to look back one day and be like, oh, wow, I wish I could have done something different.
Sure.
But, yeah, you'll just – I think I have 25 pitches because they're throwing me basically every other day off the mound. I'm just trying to get built up for the season so I can be a reliever. And it's just all about – for me, I value live BPs because it's an opportunity to compete. I mean, yes, they're my friends at the end of the day, but whenever we're both on the field, we're not friends. You know, he's trying to beat me. I'm trying to beat him. Sir. And I'm just all about, you know, obviously confidence is key, attacking the zone, just trying to work on some things to get, you know, sharp before the season starts.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you get nervous? Do you get nervous in games? Do you get like the night before a game or when you know you're getting called in to the game? I want to know what your call to the bullpen is. You know, like, do you get nervous when you get called on?
I would say I used to get more nervous when I was a starter because obviously, you know, you're going to go in the game, but now that I'm a reliever, you know, you'll have a clue, you know, like, oh, this situation, you know, it's getting closer, like the seventh, eighth inning might go to you, you know, you don't really have time to get nervous because as soon as they call down on we have walkie talkies. So they just call down on the walkie talkie. They're like, hey, get Jensen hot. You really don't have time. So, I mean, I love the game. And I love pitching, you know, I love competing. I think that's the biggest key is I don't care if I have my best stuff. I don't care if I have my C stuff that day, that my D stuff. You know, the hitter doesn't know how it is.
That's right.
And that even goes back to the body language is if a hitter is walking up to the plate and they can tell that you're, you know, defeated already, it's going to be a long day on the mound. That's so right. I think, you know, I just love going after guys and – yeah, but nervous, I guess not really because I don't have time.
So, hey, I mean, just let's keep this in context, guys. Jensen, talking with Jensen Elliott at the Baltimore Orioles here. Not a lot of people have been in the situations you've been in, and I know that you know that you're lucky for this. And not lucky, you deserve all of it. But, man, what a special – some special experiences you've had. So I want to hear about that. What's it like – what was it like walking out onto the field for the Connie Mack World Series? What was it like walking out onto the field at Oklahoma State in a big situation? What was it like in the College World Series? What does it feel like walking out of that mound knowing it's your mound?
Okay. So back to those days, I was a starter. So Connie Mack World Series, obviously, like I've mentioned before, my brother was 2 years older than me, and he had actually played in two Connie Mack World Series before me. So he kind of, you know, told me, yo, like, you're going to have a lot of fun. You know, there's obviously, like, a big parade for all that stuff. And I remember, I think I pitched against, like, was it Team Puerto Rico or something?
Puerto Rico.
And so I remember I pitched against Team Puerto Rico. And, I mean, it was definitely – I was a little nervous, you know, going out there. I actually think I started pretty bad. And I think you actually had a pitching – you had a meeting with me on the mound or something. And we're like, hey – just have some fun.
profound.
Yeah, something that you would say. And then, you know, it settled me in. But, yeah, I mean, I was definitely nervous for that. But, I mean, that's what you kind of dream of at that age is, you know, I was a big believer in whatever, like, the biggest tournaments you can be in is what I valued. And I was never a big, like, showcase guy in high school. Mm. You know, I played in one, I think, perfect game event. And it was just because my team was going to a Georgia tournament. It wasn't really, like, a showcase. And so, like, the Connie Mack was, like, the big deal. And obviously pitching against Team Puerto Rico, like, you know, that was special.
They were loud. They were loud. They're going from the – hey, they're going until they start getting beat.
Yep. And I remember that was sick. And then that was obviously the biggest, you know, amateur tournament I was ever in. And then I went to Oklahoma State. And I remember – so my freshman year I was a Sunday starter. And I remember, like, it was yesterday. My first game I pitched ever was at UT Arlington, actually. And I remember that was exciting times for me, even though it was on the road, but like my family could be there. And that was just a special moment. You know, it's wearing the orange and black for the first time. Obviously, at that time, I knew how good of a program Oklahoma State was. And, you know, you go to war all fall with those guys. And you really, we really started to have that brotherhood. And you get out there. That's the thing for me and with college is you're not just pitching for yourself. You're pitching for, you know, the university, your teammates, yeah. You know, everybody, the donors, everybody that, you know, represents Oklahoma State baseball. So that was pretty cool. And then our first, I think actually my third start was at North Carolina. Ooh. And I was born in North Carolina. So that was pretty cool. And then, yeah, the first home start, it was special. It was, you know, it's everything you dream of when you commit there. It's like yeah. Coaches always tell you like, oh yeah, we're going to see you out there, you know? And I remember Rob Walton told me, you know, whenever you come here, like we want you to start immediately. And that was obviously assuring. And then it actually happened. And I mean, it's all those starts at home just, you know, go together because they're all so special. Whether you have your good stuff, your bad stuff, you know, at least you're out there and fans support you.
Yeah.
And then obviously my freshman year was kind of crazy because I knew I had a chance to start. And then I started that whole year. And then I remember we were in Omaha and it was the third game I think we had played because we were 2-0. And I got like, my coach was like, all right, you're starting game three. And it was against Arizona, which I didn't have my best stuff that day, but I mean, just running out on that field, obviously. Oh. It's a different field from the Rosenblatt that I grew up knowing and visiting, but just being in Omaha, you know, you have all these fans from all over, you know,
goosebumps.
Yeah, I know that was surreal. And I obviously, excuse me, I wouldn't trade it for the world. It was special,
man. I'm so like, as someone who's known you a while and I got the honor to coach you, it makes me like, I can't express how happy I feel for you because I know how hard you've worked and I know how much you love the game, and knowing that you have those experiences and there's so many more experiences. I was talking to someone the other day about you and I'm like, this guy's going to be pitching into his mid late 30s. You know, this is like, think about how cool that is. And I'm just so happy to hear that you have these experiences and you're continuing to build these experiences. And I'm just, man, it's awesome to hear it. I'm curious, Jensen, couple more minutes here, man, but I'm curious, what's the best baseball advice you think you've ever received?
Best baseball advice I've ever received.
Or what's the best baseball advice you would want to give, knowing what you know through all of your experiences? What would that look like?
I think if I were to give some advice, I would just say, you know, not every day is going to go smooth. You know, your whole story is not going to be the same as the person next to you. I've seen several, you know, walks of life from different players, but you know what, we all, you know, are here at this level together. And so like, whether that's JUCO, whether that's, you know, high school draft, whether that's, you know, college for 4 years, whatever it may be, I think the key that I see is you really have to enjoy the game of baseball. The day that you don't enjoy it, it's just going to become almost like a haul on your body, your life, you know? And so I would say just keep enjoying it. You know, if something in your life, you know, you're not enjoying, or somebody you're around, let's just say a coach you have, you know, isn't, let's just say he's not, you know, he doesn't like your path, you know, he's trying to tell you what you want to do or like what you should do. And like, you disagree, you know, the thing about today's world with like the transfer portal and everything like that is you have the opportunity to go somewhere else. You have the opportunity to, you know, go somewhere where somebody actually believes in you. And I think that I'd say that is one of the biggest things, is definitely just enjoying the game, but then also making sure you have a solid support system around you. Yeah. And obviously I'm thankful for you in the years we got to spend together, because you always believed in me even whenever I never knew how good I was. Jeez. But then over the years you start to build these relationships, and I mean, shoot, we haven't played together. How long ago did I play for you?
holy cow, dude, you're 26. 8 years ago, nine years ago.
And now it's like we didn't miss any time. You know, you're always in my corner, and obviously I really appreciate that.
Yeah, man. Oh, that's, I love it. It's all about relationships, and you'll be doing it for guys the rest of your life too. Well, I do want to say this. I want to say hi to your mom and your dad while they're listening. Mama and Dada Elliot and Jake Elliot, your older brother, man. I'll say this. Take a minute and tell me what that's meant, because I know this. I know this. Your family, you talk about the support. Holy cow, I don't want to like choke you up or anything, but I think about what support looks like, and it comes in all forms and fashions. But man, the support that you had and the love that you can tell that you're surrounded with. Talk to me about your family and what they've meant to you in your career.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know where to begin, but I mean, I guess I'd start with my mom. She's always just kind of been, you know, the rock there. It's funny because she's, you know, the first one to say, oh, well, you didn't have your stuff today. And you're like, okay, well, thanks, Mom. But she's also the first one to congratulate you when you do well. So just having her there, you know, on the field, off the field, she's always, you know, held a positive outlook, you know, even for days that I didn't, you know, necessarily see the light at the end of the tunnel. She's always there to talk. You know, I could call her any hour of the day. My dad's, you know, more of a golfer, but he was always there as well. And he was, you know, the first one, you know, whenever I was a hitter to say, hey, Jensen, you need to go hit some, you know, batting practice. And he'd never complain about his arm. He'd always be out there, you know, and I have to thank him for that. And then to my brother, though, is like, I couldn't have, like, you know, my story would be different if it weren't for Jake. Like, he was always, you know, he's one of the best big brothers, I think, that, like, in the world. He always, you know, he'll go throw with me still to this day, even though he doesn't play anymore. He was, you know, the lead of our family to go play college baseball. And, you know, I didn't know anything about any of this. And he was kind of, you know, he's been through it all. So he was there to help me on the recruiting process. He was there to help me, you know, as my transition to pro ball. Obviously, if I have a tough outing, I can send a video. He'll be there. So obviously having that connection with him, and then away from baseball, just having him as a brother, like, just, he's literally like my best friend. So,
man, that's awesome.
I got blessed with, you know, the family that I have and the situations that I've had in life, but I'm just forever thankful.
Man, that's great. We love you, Elliots. And I didn't want to finish this podcast without giving them a shout out. Jensen, man, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today, man. I'm so excited for you, and I cannot wait just to, because we were talking the other day, and I said, you don't realize how many people are really cheering for you and really behind you, because you got so much going on, and just know this, you got so many people cheering for you. Cannot wait to see that moment happen. I'm not jinxing it, but I know it's going to happen. And man, just very proud of you, and give us any final thoughts for the audience today.
Just thanks for listening. Hopefully if there's anything, you know, that you, I just hope you can walk away with some, like, one or two items that you learned from today, and just kind of use it in your life, whether that's baseball, not baseball. You know, and it's just, when you're around somebody and all these, like, people that give you so much information over your years, it's wonderful to be able to share some of them to hopefully persuade, you know, maybe a kid or two into their future.
Heck yeah, man. We know you'll be giving back to this game for the rest of your life. So, Jensen, I appreciate the time today, my friend. You go kill it tomorrow on your live BPs. Don't hit anybody. I probably would have, but go enjoy the game. We'll catch up soon. Okay, buddy.
Perfect. Appreciate you.
All right. All right. Thanks, Jensen. Again, I want to thank Jensen Elliott for taking some time to talk with us today. Go give him a follow on Instagram at JensenElliott34 and on X at JensenElliott. I'm your host, Ross Holly, and on behalf of Showcase and College Baseball, I want to thank you for listening. Be sure to follow the Showcase and College Baseball group page on Facebook or visit us at collegerecruitprep.com for more of our podcasts and content. We will see you next time.